This is most certainly true. The Lamb of God, who was long foretold, has come to be our sacrifice. Jesus offered himself and graciously shed his blood in our place so that we could be forgiven. And now we have the assurance of life and glory with him forever in heaven. Join us to look to the Lamb through this sermon, recently delivered at Grace.
The Gospel from John chapter 17. These words, this prayer of Jesus, will serve as the basis for today's sermon. My prayer is not for believers alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I may myself may be in them. I'm guessing that you have probably heard it said before that you ought to pray for others. In fact, maybe you have made such a sentiment to someone when you heard about their troubles. I'll pray for you, or I am praying for you. Now, I really hope that you follow through on those words and not just flippantly throw that out as though it's just something to say, but maybe even in that moment you pray for or even with that person. Now, the reason I bring that up is because of this. Do you know this? Jesus prayed for you. No joke. He personally had you in mind and on his heart as he prayed the prayer that we heard this morning from the gospel reading. Jesus prayed for all who would believe in his name, for future believers from that moment, like you and me. And this was a prayer that he prayed on the night that he was going to be betrayed by one of his very own disciples, Judas, and arrested by his enemies, and the very next day be crucified and put to death. Now, what in the world could have been so important and urgent that Jesus had to pray for you on the very night before he's going to die the next day? We hear it in the prayer today. Jesus prayed for you that we might be one. It almost seems like Jesus could be true God, doesn't it? I mean, the fact that he would know all the different issues that we could go through in this life and that he would see and that he knows the most important thing to pray about is for us to be one, to have unity. But therein lies the beautiful truth, right? Jesus is true God. And as true God, he knows our greatest and deepest needs. And in the prayer that we reflect on this morning, we hear that one of the most important things that Jesus wanted for you and for me is to have unity. It almost seems like Jesus knew the world we would live in today, doesn't it? I mean, look around us, and we live in a very divided and divisive world. In fact, let's just make a short list of things that divide us. I'll start us off with an easy one. Politics. That really gets people going, doesn't it? Or moral issues like abortion or human sexuality. Race. Culture divides us. Think about the things that divide you, whether it's your neighbor or a person that you work with. They do things differently and it drives you nuts and you can't get along with them. Or think about the things that divide you just within your own family. Who you should or should not date or marry. Whether you have to eat all the peas on your plate or not. How your grades really look in school and what school you're going to go to and what your career is going to be like and how you're not raising your kids the right way and who's going to take care of mom and dad in their old age. Things that just set people off and cause divisions. And you could add 100 other things to that list of things that you find yourself divided with in people in your life and in the world around you too. And it's in those moments that your sinful nature likes to make an appearance. And it likes to show just how self-centered and selfish we can be. It shows itself in arguments, in fighting, in shouting, in shutting down and shutting out others in the way that we mistreat and disregard other people. We often don't find ourselves as one, but divided. You pick sides and you pit yourself against one another. And that division causes so much hurt and harm and frustration and resentment. And that division causes great problems. But it's much bigger than just a social problem. It's a problem with your heart, with your soul. Jesus came to be our Savior, not just to rescue us from our sins, but to pray that we might be one. Now, Jesus did not pray that we would be united with this sinful world. In fact, the Lord God says that we should separate ourselves from the wickedness of this world. But instead, Jesus prays that we would be united with God and with other believers so that through us, the world might know the Lord. Jesus said, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, the message of the apostles, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. To truly understand the oneness and unity that the Lord Jesus desires and prays about here in this prayer, you need to first of all understand the oneness that you enjoy with God. Now understand this first though. There is no greater dividing factor in this world than your own sin. It destroys relationships with people in your life. And it decimates any kind of unity that you might have with God. Your sinful nature is hostile to God. It doesn't politely deny God and disagree with Him, but it blatantly lashes out, no, I am not going to live your way, God. And it comes out in the words and the actions, the way we act. Lord, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. I don't need or want you. You know, God created people, He created you to have a relationship with Him. But your sin separates you from God. It drives this massive wedge between you and God in your relationship, your oneness with Him. Jesus prayed that this would not be. He did much more than just pray for this. Jesus had a very unique oneness with God the Father. He had this complete oneness and harmony and togetherness with God because He is true God. It's the mystery of our God and the triune God. And as true God, Jesus so desperately wanted to bring you one, to be one with Him and the Father, that He set aside all of that so that He could rescue you from your sins by completing the plan and all the requirements that God demanded for sinful people like you and me. And God, in His great love, accepted Jesus' sacrifice, this payment for sins, as your payment. And God now covers you and washes you clean of all of your sins through the blood of Jesus. And He makes you His very own dear child. And now you get to be one with God through faith in Jesus, who sets you free and brings you near to the Lord. Now, it's that same faith in God that also allows us to be one with one another. Jesus prayed that all believers would be one. And as he talks about this, and he wants us to bring us together to be one, we have to realize something. We are all different people. We have a lot of similarities, but as I am looking out at you this morning, you are all a bunch of different people with different personalities and priorities and expectations and experiences that you've had in life, and you come from different backgrounds and even cultures and races. And yet there is something that brings us together. And it's the very reason you're here this morning. It's Jesus. And you see, Jesus shows us that no matter what our background might be, we are all a bunch of crummy sinners that deserve God's wrath. But Jesus showed us that he died on the cross for every single person, regardless of color of skin or language or background. And he unites us together around this gospel message that he shares with us in word and sacrament, and he brings us together into one. We call it a church, or the body of Christ. And this gathering of believers is something that expands beyond time and space and language and nation. But it draws all people underneath the faith and trust in Jesus. We're reminded of how diverse this unity can be when we hear of things and keep in mind things like the people in Ukraine that we are praying for, especially our brothers and sisters in faith in the Lutheran Church there who are in harm's way. Or when we hear stories that come from our World Missions Office in our Synod about the wonderful ways that the gospel ministry is expanding and growing in Africa and in Latin America, and how we are gaining these footholds to share Jesus with different Asian groups, is a reminder and a beautiful picture of how we are together with Christ, even though we might be separated by thousands of miles and even cultures, and yet in Christ, we are one. And this goes beyond just a diverse unity, but a oneness of mind and attitude that we share too. And it's a oneness that we cannot have unless we are in and with Jesus. The Apostle Paul explained this when he wrote in Galatians chapter 2, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, being with God means, and one with God means more than just having our sins washed away, but it means having a new life and a new heart and a new attitude like that of God. But that's only possible with Christ in us. And the more that we grow in that unity with God and we grow in his word, the more we will see that Christ-like attitude prevail in our lives as you start to set aside your own needs and put the needs of others before you. Because that's where oneness starts. So what if? What if we set aside all of our differences in order to love and encourage one another as believers? What if you really got to know your church family here? And you weren't quick to judge, and you didn't rush out the doors on Sunday morning, but you really took a moment to not just introduce yourself to someone you're sitting next to, but really got to know them. What if we studied the Bible together and heard each other's stories and learned how we can best support and encourage and pray for one another and realize that we are really more one than we even realize? What would that look like to our community or to the world? I think I know what it would look like. And maybe I can put it into perspective with a simple little story, a little picture. Even you kids will understand this. A whole class of 5-year-olds go out for recess and are playing on the playground. And one little boy comes up to the teacher with tears in his eyes and says, "Teacher, those boys are being mean to me." "Well, what's the problem?" "They said my shoes are ugly and I can't play with them." "Well, that's not true. Are there other kids that you'd like to play with?" And at that moment, a little girl from another group of kids who are playing on the playground comes over, invites him to come and play with them. And his face lights up, and with a smile, he looks at his teacher and says, "I'm going to go play with them because they're nice to each other, and they're going to let me play with them." What if the church of God, us as the church of God, and not just the church on the corner of Juno and Broadway, but the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, showed such a oneness in knowing Jesus Christ that others wanted to come and to live life with us, to live eternal life with us. Make us one, Lord. And that's the point. The gospel is here to unite us to God and to one another and to show the world Jesus. Let's show the world Jesus. Jesus said, "Then the world will know that you sent me, God, and have loved them even as you have loved me." Jesus prayed that we would have unity with him and with one another so that we could be with him forever and see and know his glory. So often we get wrapped up in chasing after the glory of this world, our own personal kind of glory. And that pursuit of glory is the kind of thing that brings up so much division in our world. It's that sinful pursuit of glory that is the thing of wars and of unhealthy competition and of tearing each other down. But Jesus wants to set before you a glory that is so vastly different, a glory that is unique, a glory that is found only in him. And he tells you to look and find victory in a sacrifice, to see victory in death, and to see life and victory in an empty tomb. Because there, my friends, in Jesus, because he died and rose again, that is where we see glory. Glory that God's plan of salvation was fulfilled. Glory that Jesus has reunited us with God through the forgiveness of sins. Glory that God brings us to be together as one. This coming Thursday is the ascension of Jesus. We're going to be celebrating here at Grace with a special meal and a little devotional service and a presentation from our world missions to see how the gospel is being shared. You are all invited. I'd love for you all to join us. There's more info in the Grace notes. Take a peek and sign up. But the ascension of Jesus is this beautiful reminder, an opportunity for us to reflect on the truth that our living Savior has ascended to heaven, is seated at the right hand of God the Father, where he is ruling and reigning over all things, his church. And as that high priest, he continues to intercede for you still today. In other words, Jesus is still praying for you. And his prayer today is the same as it was on the night he was betrayed. He prays that you would continue to remain one with God and one with the people he sets before you. And so, my friends, my prayer for you today is the same thing. Lord, may we be one.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about God's grace, to support the work that we do to proclaim the love of Jesus in Milwaukee and around the world, and to find our schedule of special worship services, please visit www.gracedowntown.org today. And we'd love to have you join us for worship sometime soon. This grace is for you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.